when we need it. And I'm so thankful for that. In these days, God's Word is a living book. Amen. It's alive. It's still speaking. It's still ministering. And it's still getting the job done. Amen. I'm not looking for a newer version of it. Amen. I'm not looking for something easier to understand. I understand this one. Amen. Just fine. My problem is living up to the standard it sets. Amen. And we sure don't need to lower that with some other new version in these days. And so I'm thankful tonight for the Word of God. Let's read this psalm tonight one more time. I'm going to try to finish this. I've got a lot to get to. I don't know if we can or not. We're going to try tonight to wrap up Psalm 91. The Bible said, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample underfoot." And now here we are at our verses we want to try to get to. Take me just a minute. But He said, "Because He has set His love upon me." Now notice here, let me point this out. Notice that the one speaking, there's been a change. All right? We believe Moses wrote this and authored this psalm. And he's the one that's been speaking through the first 13 verses. But now, this is not Moses saying somebody set their love on Moses, but it's God standing and saying, "I have something I want to say right here." And He says, "Because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. Will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." You can be seated this evening. Heavenly Father, one more time in this service, we want to just pause for a moment and, Lord, ask You for help, ask You for direction. Ask You, Lord, that You would arrange, Lord, the atmosphere of this service and of our hearts, Lord, to receive the Word of God and the truth that You've laid out before us tonight in this great psalm. And Lord, I pray this evening He, the Spirit of the Lord, would take it and make it real, make it alive. Lord, make the promises that we find in this text tonight, Lord, personal to our own life. May it drive us, Lord, inspire us even, Lord, to walk with God in a very close and very personal way, that, Lord, we might reap the benefits of all that You said You'd do in our life. Lord, I pray maybe there's one here tonight not saved. Would You speak to their heart and draw them, Lord, by the power of the Word of God and the Holy Ghost, do a work in their life. And, Lord, revive the church and, Lord, stir the saint and, Lord, exhort us and encourage us and, Lord, compel us tonight through Your Word, Lord, to go on and to serve You and pay the price. Lord, all that we do tonight, all that's accomplished, we'll be careful, Lord, to render to You the praise and the glory for it all. In Jesus' name, again, I ask it, amen and amen. We believe this psalm quickly. We believe this is the second psalm penned by Moses, and he penned it during the time of the wilderness wanderings. The fact that this psalm deals with the tabernacle or the habitation and the house of God, the secret place here to the people of God, would indicate that the tabernacle has been built and has been enjoyed and worship is going on in that place. When we think about Moses, we think of a man that had received the law, and not only the law, but in particular to this psalm, received the instruction for the building of that house of worship. And so he knew it inside and out. In fact, he not only knew the pattern that he had received, but Moses had received a glimpse, I believe, into the other side, and that being that tabernacle that is in heaven, the one that we have that is better than anything that Moses could have ever built on earth. And so he's intimate with this place of worship. He knows it, as it were, having received it and then delivered it there to the children of Israel to build and to worship in. He knows it inside and he knows it out. We understand the tabernacle and what it represented, how it was made, how it was set up, that there were different segments. There were inner courts and outer courts. There was places that anybody could go. There were other places limited to the Levites and their daily ministration. And then ultimately, the Holy of Holies, that place where only the high priest could go once a year upon the appointed time and the appointed day and the appointed hour, and there would bring the blood of a bullock in there and atone for the sins of the people, that is, pass them forward another year, amen, until the time Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, would come to take away the sin of the world. And through that dispensation, Moses is there, and he knows the significance there of that place of worship. We understand that in the building of that tabernacle, there is the pillar of fire that hovers above the Holy of Holies by day, and the cloud by day, and the pillar of fire there by night. Most men that have studied history and understand that say that that cloud went anywhere from a mile to 3 miles high in the sky, resting above there, representing the presence of God upon that place of worship. And you could see it literally from anywhere you were in the camp. And seeing the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day reminded you that God was in the midst of the camp. And God was in that Holy of Holies, and God was there, God was abiding, God was directing, and God was leading the way. But when you study Moses' life in light of the Scripture, we believe that Moses, he not only oversaw the building of the tabernacle, he seen it completed, he seen God's presence come down, that Moses lived himself personally very near and close to that place of worship. And so he himself cannot go into the Holy of Holies. He himself, my friend, is limited in how far he can go. But on a personal level, Moses understands what the cloud by day and the fire by night represent. My friend, the secret place, it represents that God is there as he literally lives within the shadow of the Almighty. This is the theme. This is the theme of the secret place. Amen. Moses literally dwells in the shadow of the Almighty. And so this psalm begins with him saying that, amen, that one that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And so this has become personal to Moses, his relationship to God and his presence. And so in this psalm, we go beyond the Jewish form of worship in the wilderness. We go beyond the legalistic ways and rituals and rites and traditions as had been delivered by the hand and mouth of Moses. And here Moses said it goes way beyond that. Amen. A man can have a personal relationship with God. Amen. And so thank God for that. Amen. We can enjoy the presence of God. Amen. Especially now since the veil has been rent. Especially since Christ our forerunner is gone and made a way. My friend, we can walk with God as the redeemed and the children of God. Amen. We can enjoy that presence of the Lord. Amen. Not not all in Moses' day could go in the secret place. Amen. But Moses said, I can live under the shadow of the Almighty. And so we're dealing with that thought out of this psalm, living under the shadow of God. Amen. That is living, to live in close proximity to the presence of God in a very personal level. Amen. Living in the shadow of a godly parent and pastor, or even a peer, a friend, or some acquaintance along the way, is not the same as living under the shadow of God. Amen. Just simply going to church services, no matter how spirit-filled they may or may not be, is not living in the shadow of God. Amen. It is to dwell and abide close to the Lord. That's what Moses said. He said, this thing's not casual to me. This ain't some passing thing and fleeting little desire that I have. Amen. He said there's something about dwelling and abiding in the presence of God. And so that would bring us into the New Testament, where Christ, amen, speak of our lives as children of God. Amen. About abiding in Him, abiding in the vine, that He is the vine and we are but the branches. But then if we'll abide in Him, if we'll remain, amen, close to His dwelling and close to His presence, it, and in that intimate and personal relationship with the Lord, that, my friend, we ourselves can do, as Psalm 91 declares for us to enjoy, amen, living under the shadow of God. Amen, not just popping in and out, but sitting down in quiet. Amen, to remain, to settle down. Amen, to stop is what abide means, to stay permanently. Amen, carrying with it the idea of just lodging in the presence of God. Amen, being acquainted with Him in a personal way. And so we look at the thought, living under the shadow of God. What is it? Amen. To be in this secret place. And so Psalm 91, we looked at verses 1 through 6, the portrayal of the secret place. It is a sacred place, verse 1. It's a sheltering place, verse 2. A saving place in verse number 3. And thank God it's a shielding place in verse number 4. But in verses 5 and 6, I believe it to be my favorite part of it all. And when you live under the shadow of God, the secret place is a settling place. Amen. And oh, God knows in 2020 and 2021, amen, that God's people need a place to have their fears settled. A place where we can sit down and the fear dissipate. Amen. And the frights and the worries and the angst would seem, as it were, to roll away from the shoulders of our mind. Amen. And Moses said, you want to learn how to not be afraid. You want victory over fear. Amen. Learn what it is to live under the shadow of God. Amen. Because it's there that thou shalt not be afraid. And so he portrays what the secret place, amen, would be to you and I. And then we looked at the protections in the secret place. Amen. Verses 7 through 10, we found the protection for our falling. Amen. As we live there, thank God, some may fall to the side. And there may be 10,000 that fall at our right side. Amen. Speaking of the place of relationship and fellowship, and those that are even the nearest and the dearest to us, those that we can never imagine falling may even fall. Amen. But every failure and every fall is the result of avoiding the secret place. Amen. But Moses said, I've learned to abide there. I've learned to dwell there. I have learned to live under the shadow of God, and there I have found protection for our falling. Amen. Protection for our fellowship. Amen. The more we stay there, the more fellowship we have. Amen. I won't re-preach all of it, but fellowship with God is protected by fellowship with God. And you may not understand what that means, but you need to get a hold of it. Amen. In these days, protection for our families in verse number 10. And though evil plagues may befall, amen, those that are around us, if we'll learn to live under the shadow of God, Amen. There's something about God putting a hedge about our dwelling that Moses found there in verse number 10. And so the portrayals and the protection. Amen. We looked at two Wednesday nights ago, had myself a fit. Amen. On the preparations of the secret place. In verses 11, 12, and 13, we come to those verses. And Moses teaches us about two matters. Amen. In verses 11 and 12, he teaches us about angels. And in verse number 13, he teaches us about the adversary. And so there are the angels and the adversary. Amen. We looked at the angels for a moment, considered their charge, that they are appointed by the Lord to bring ministry into our life. We looked at their care, how that they lift us up in their own hands. And then we looked at their concern, that they're watching for our way and they are looking after our welfare. Amen. And all of that seems to be maybe out of place in this text. Amen. But we understand in the New Testament, the Bible said, amen, the New Testament child of God entertains strangers and his angels unawares. Amen, you ain't ever seen an angel. You ain't ever laid eyes on an angel. Amen, and unless you ate anchovy pizza one night. Amen, and had dreams and visions of all sorts of things. Amen, but if you've ever had angels minister into your life, amen, it has been unawares. Amen, they have ministered to our life, those that love God and those that are interested in keeping the way of God. Amen, and so all of that, man, I'm bogging down here again. Amen, not only instructed in the ministry of angels, we are reminded by these verses of the adversary. Amen, immediately when we read these verses, we are reminded of Matthew chapter 4 and the temptations of our Savior. Amen, and the second of them temptations, Satan made an attempt to reach into Psalm 91 and tempt the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, to cast himself down, amen, believing that God would send the angels to prevent him from dashing his foot against a stone. Amen, the Lord overcame that by saying, yeah, and it's written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And so the victory was won over that temptation. And so our thought was, in the preparation of the secret place, amen, that as we live under the shadow of God, amen, as we make our way through this psalm that is teaching us about it, my friend, we are literally being prepared for the onslaught of the battle that Satan will bring our way. Amen. We are reminded in this text in the victory of our Savior. We're reminded that my friend indeed, amen, he did conquer him in that wilderness, and so his victory is our victory. How did he get it? He spent 40 days living under the shadow of God. Amen. He was there fasting, and he was there praying, and he was there meditating with his Father. And my friend being prepared for what the devil was soon to bring his way. Amen. And so somebody says, the devil made me do it. Amen. The devil didn't make you do it. Amen. Amen. If you fell to his temptation, amen, if you lost the battle against his fiery darts, then, my friend, it was a failure of being unprepared, amen, by avoiding living under the shadow of God. Amen. And so we learn from these verses here in the secret place. Amen. We are prepared for the temptations by Satan. Amen. We are also prepared for the trickery of Satan. And then ultimately we are prepared for the triumph over Satan. Amen. And you find that in verse number 13. Amen. The lion, the adder, and the dragon are pictures of our adversary. Amen. But Jesus overcame him, and Moses said,
Amen. If you'll dwell in the secret place and abide under the shadow of the Almighty, amen, God will let you trample Him up. Amen. And you can triumph and tread, amen, in victory over your enemy. Amen. Well, that is a, amen, that is a 19 minute, amen, rundown of what we've covered already. Let me give you some new ground. Amen. And we'll pick this up. Amen. Notice with me in these closing three verses, I see the promises of the secret place. And boy, you talk about shouting ground in this text tonight. Amen. The opening verses again have Moses speaking. And when we study this and we meditate upon it and read it, we find that Moses is speaking about the God of the secret place. He is speaking about the God of the secret place. Amen. The Most High, the Almighty, the Lord God. He will, He shall. Amen. He's guarding you. He. And Moses is speaking about the God of the secret place. At these closing three verses, we've had the voice of God, and God is the one doing the speaking. And what we find is that God is speaking about the man that is in the secret place. Amen. You have Moses, the man, speaking about the God of the secret place. Amen. And now we have God speaking about Moses and the man that is in the secret place. Amen. And so tonight I'd like to just tap into what God has to say. And if, my friend, we'd ever learn to dwell and abide and live under the shadow of the Almighty, amen, what would God say about that tonight? Amen. I understand in studying this, and as the Lord speaks, what He's really doing is declaring promises that are entailed into the lives of those that live in the secret place. Amen. And may I say, these promises, amen, are not to the mundane Christian. These promises are not, my friend, to the carnally minded. These promises are for those that have gone a little further. These promises are for those that have learned what it means to abide in Christ. Amen. These promises are for those that, amen, have been by, amen, been by the way, amen, the way of the blood of Christ, and by way of the Holy Ghost, amen, have entered in behind the veil, and my friend, know what it is to live in the presence of God. Amen. And so let's consider tonight, amen, a few truths. We'll see how far we make it. I don't know. Amen. Got a lot to give. Notice the conditions for these promises. Amen. The condition for these promises. Amen. When the Lord speaks, here's how the Lord begins. Because. Now I remember, this just dawned on me, I remember coming up through grade school and even high school, Brother Tim. And I didn't really like language. I enjoyed math to some degree and science and history. But language wasn't my, amen, it wasn't my forte. All the nouns and verbs and adverbs and adjectives. And it's amazing. God would call me to preach, and all I do, amen, the days of my life is just study some of those principles, amen, that I learned about the English language and grammar. Amen. But I had a teacher one time. I remember she tried to teach us a principle. She said, amen, it is not grammatically correct to start a sentence with because. Amen. And I don't know why that just popped up in my head other than, amen, when the Lord spoke, He said because. And so, amen, if the Lord can do it, I promise it's grammatically correct tonight. Amen. And I'm going to try to remember who that English teacher was. I'm going to send her, amen, a copy of Psalm 91, verse number 14. Amen. But what the Lord is doing here, amen, in this verse, what we find is what it would really look like to be living under the shadow of God. What would that look like in my life and in your life? Amen. These promises we'll see here in a moment. Amen. There is a hinge that they are conditioned upon. Amen. There are some promises in the Word of God. They are unconditional. Amen. They are unconditional promises. That is, God says, I'm going to do this, and it doesn't matter what you do. Amen. Nothing and no one will change that. For instance, Jesus said, I will come again. Amen. And you ain't going to stop it, and I ain't going to stop it. And this world and the mess it's in is not going to stop it. It is a promise that He made that, amen, just rest upon the fact that He said it. Then there are other promises God makes that they are what we call conditional promises. That is, God said, I will, and you can rest assured I shall, if you will do A, B, and C. And that is what God is giving here. When He speaks, what He is saying is, I'm going to set the parameters, and the man and the woman and the old person and the young person, and we'll meet these conditions. Amen. They can mark it down. I am promising and I will do some things in their life. Amen. And so what would those conditions be? Amen. I believe they're threefold in the text tonight. Amen. If you're taking notes, write this down. Amen. The first condition deals with passion. It deals with passion. Amen. Notice what the Lord said. First of all, He said, because He hath set His love upon me. Amen. The Lord said, I'll tell you why I'm going to do what I'm about to tell you I'm going to do is because I know that man loves me. He has cast His love upon me. Amen. He loves me. He has a passion. Amen. That is for God. Amen. And so thank God. Amen. That's a condition. Amen. I believe there would be a noble goal to aim for. Amen. To love the Lord our God. Amen. To set our love upon Him. That's what Jesus said was the greatest commandment. Amen. To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy might, and all thy soul. And so here the Lord is saying to Moses, I tell you why I'm going to do these great, great things in your life, and why these promises will be fulfilled, Moses, is that that you have a love that has been set upon me. Amen. Notice that this phrase here means this. Amen. It means to cling, cleave, or join to. Amen. Oh, the Lord is saying, Moses, I've got something I want to say. And that any man, woman, boy, girl that learns to set their love, that is, they have cast their ever bit of their fiber, their being, and they're clinging to God and God alone, and they're cleaving and joined to Him. Amen. God said, that is what setting your love upon me is. It means to bind or to attach. Amen. I like this. It literally means to delight in. Amen. In other words, the Lord is saying, of the man or the woman that has learned to delight in me. Amen. They love me so much, they care about what I think. They love me so much, that all they want to do is spend time with me. Amen. They have shed their love upon me. Amen. Is this not a New Testament principle? Amen. Colossians 3:2 said, amen, set your affection on things above. Amen, not on things of the earth. Amen, where is your love tonight? Amen, where is our passion directed? Amen, I'm convinced in the days we live in, amen, that we love ourselves. Amen, we love our own well-being. We love, amen, our own life. But, amen, if we're ever going to tap into these promises, amen, to live under the shadow of God, amen, is to meet the condition, amen, that we really, really, truly love God. I found it interesting. Hey, amen, I ain't going to make it far. Amen. I don't know why I even thought it. Y'all didn't even think it, but amen, I really thought I was going to make it a little ways. Let me show you a verse. I want you to look here in Deuteronomy 7. Deuteronomy 7. Let me show you something here. In Deuteronomy 7, what you're going to find is that when the Lord said, I tell you why I'm going to promise and do some things in this man's life, it's because he has set his love upon me. When you study that phrase, it is descriptive in Deuteronomy 7, a verse I'm going to show you. It is a description of how God loves his own. Deuteronomy 7, watch it now, verse number 7. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of a house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And so Moses is saying, hey man, there was a time the Lord set his love upon us. And he didn't do that because we were lovable. He didn't do that because there was anything mighty and noble and grand or great that he would get in exchange. He just simply loved you because he loved you. And what he did when he loved you, he set his love upon you. Amen. Again, he didn't do that because, amen, you was the best of the best. He didn't do that because you was the most good looking. He didn't do that because you had the most potential. He did that because, amen, he is a God that is love. And so he said it. He joined his love to you. Amen. He attached himself to your life. Amen. He loved you because he delighted in you. And all Egypt could see was a bunch of unworthy slaves. And all the world could see was people that deserved shackles on their hands. God came back and he redeemed you, and God loved you. Amen. And so, amen, God has set his love upon his own. My friend, God said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to make some mighty big promises. Every man and woman that, amen, has known redemption by the blood of Christ. Everyone I've ever set free. Amen. If they ever reciprocate the love I've put upon them and give it back to me, yeah, I will bless them with great promises. Amen. You know what I've learned in the New Testament? Oh, John the Beloved said, we love him because he first loved us. Amen. There's a time I didn't love God. There's a time, in fact, I hated God. I hated his word. I hated the church. I hated on-time preaching. I hated standards and godly living. Amen. But one day God came by and set his love on me. He redeemed me and brought me out. I'm saved. I'm born again. Thank God, Dad. Amen. And now it is my duty tonight, amen, to take the love that God set upon me and reciprocate that back to God and set my love upon him. Amen. Thank God tonight. Ain't you glad that he loved you? Amen. Ain't you glad that he reached down? Old Brother Ains would say, ain't you glad for the day he reached further down than we can reach up? Amen. I didn't know what love was till I met the God who is love. Amen. I couldn't love my mom and daddy. I couldn't love the things of God. I couldn't even love you tonight until God came by and set his love on me. And now, thank God, this love that, amen, I can exercise, said, amen, that God has set upon me. And God said, I tell you what, the whole desire I have, amen, is that those that I have redeemed would, amen, go beyond saying they love me and show they love me. Amen. Amen. I hear a lot of folks say they love Him. Amen. I ain't the judge tonight. Amen. I'm not the judge tonight. Amen. But can I say, amen, let me word it this way, to reciprocate God's love back upon Him is, now listen now, it is an intentional act displayed by passionate action. In fact, if you look at the phrase again that God said, man, I ain't gonna make it past this because He has set His love upon me. Amen. If you know how to do a word study, it. Amen. You understand that in the Hebrew and the Greek, and I'm no Hebrew or Greek scholar tonight. Amen. I just know how to use them lexicons and, amen, them things, Brother Tim, that, amen, they taught me how to use it. And you understand that at those languages said tenses and directions it. And what you'll find is that when God said, because He has set His love upon me, that it is literally an intentional action. Nobody's ever accidentally loved God. Amen. To set our love upon Him is to reciprocate a love He set upon us, and to love Him back. Amen. But that takes an intentional act displayed by passionate action because He has set His love upon me. Amen. Now Jesus said a mouthful in John 14. Amen. Let me read this verse to you, several verses, John 14. And in verse number 21, the Bible said, He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Amen. Now Jesus didn't say, just cause you say you love me, you love me. Jesus said there is a definitive way that I know you love me and that you can know you really love me and that others will know that you love me. That is, as you receive my commandments, you keep them. And everyone who does that, Jesus said, I tell you why they do that. They love me. Is that right? Man, is this getting big out there? It's getting big in my heart. You don't love Him because you say you love Him. Jesus said there has to be an intentional act displayed by passionate action that you get passionate about. I want to live for Him. I want to take what He's given me. I want to live in the way that He's instructed me. I want to take what I've been given and put it into action so that God knows I love Him. This is what He did with Abraham. Take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest. Get thee on the mountain which I will show thee and offer him there a burnt offering unto me. Why did God do that? He was putting Abraham's love for God to the test. Amen. Abraham could have said, God, I love you. God, I love you. I'm sure Abraham said it often, Lord, I love you. Do you know what God did? He made Abraham go beyond saying that he loved him, made him show that he loved him. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus said, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, it is possible not to love God. If a man love me, he will keep my words. He will keep my words. He will keep my words, and my Father will love him. We will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. It goes in one ear and out the other. It's shoveled back to somebody else. It is heard, but it is not received. He that loveth me, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Here's what God said. You want my promises for living under the shadow of God? Learn how to set your love upon me. It deals with passion. Amen. It deals with passion. Oh, to live a life that God would know that we love Him. Oh, to live a life of obedience, a life of direction. Amen. By the words of our Savior, a life. Amen. That we live, my friend, the truth that we are given. Amen. Not arguing, not debating. I want to live a life. Amen. I want to live a life where I love Him more than I love me. I know the Bible said in this crowd in our day, amen, get the mully grubs. They talk about hating themselves. Amen. You know what Paul said? Amen. Paul said, no man ever yet hated himself. Amen. Our problem in our society, amen, it ain't, my friend, that we hate ourselves. It's that we love ourselves too much. Problem is, we don't hate ourselves.
Right.
Well, you know, you just got to learn to love yourself. No, you got to learn as a child of God to love Him.
Hey.
And if you love Him, you won't have, amen, any problem with self-esteem. If you love Him right, amen, you'll be able to be a confident child of God. Amen, this matter, the promises, they are conditioned upon our passion. Amen. Number two. Boy, I spent too much time there, didn't I? Yeah, I did. He has set His love upon me. Number two, notice. He said, because He hath known my name. I won't spend as much time here. If you're taking notes, write it down. There's the condition. Amen. That passion is involved, but there is pursuit that is involved. Because thou hast known my name. This is to pursue the knowledge of who God is. Do you know who God is tonight? Do you know anything about God? Tell me tonight, what do you know about the one that has invited us to come into, amen, the secret place and to live in and abide in underneath His shadow? Tell me what you know about Him. You ever pursue any knowledge of the holy? Do you ever have any spiritual ambitions and say, I want to know more about my Lord? We sing number 6, Brother Larry. Amen. What a wonderful song. But, amen, I believe I can honestly say tonight, amen, it's more than a song to my heart. Amen. I enjoy singing it. I do want to know more about my Lord. I want to know more, amen, about heaven. I want to know more about His Word. I want to know more. I want to know more about my Lord. The only way you'll ever make your way in the secret place and receive the promises that God's going to make, that you're on the edge of your seat saying, please get to the promises. I'm trying. The only way you're going to get there is to begin to have an ambition and a desire to pursue God and the things of God. Does it mean we can't enjoy life? Does it mean that my friend, in moderation, that we can't, amen, find some pleasurable things to do in life and unplug it? Amen. I don't believe God saved us to make monks out of us. Amen. Live in some sort of monastery lifestyle. Amen. But I'm telling you, there ought to be in the depths of our heart, amen, a driving force that is pursuing to know our God in deeper and greater ways. Amen. Well, have y'all quit on me? Amen. Don't quit on me. I ain't done. I always have this problem, Brother Wayne. Everybody gets done before I do. I'm working on that. I'm trying to get meet in the middle somewhere. Pursuit. He said it. He said, because He hath known my name. Amen. I won't give you all of this. Amen. Amen. Let me say this, to know Him. Amen. To know Him in the way that God is describing is to know Him by instruction. Do you listen when preaching and teaching's going on? That'll help you know more about your God. Most folk take preaching and teaching time and they don't take it serious enough, I'm afraid. Know Him by instruction. To know Him by designation. To know Him by observation. He's doing things all around you in your life. What He does is not just to give you warm, fuzzy feelings, but it is designed to teach you more about your God. Man, to know Him with special care. To take special care in your spiritual life. Amen. Not to be careless with, amen, the knowledge you have received. That, and to not be careless and casual about, amen, letting the Holy Ghost and the Word of God and the house of God that teach you more about Him. There's a pursuit involved. Because, notice the Lord said, because He hath known my name. I won't give you all of this, but go home tonight and read again verses 1 and 2. And you'll find Moses opened up talking about the secret place and living under the shadow of God. He uses four distinct, direct names for God. He called Him the Most High. He called Him the Almighty. He called Him the Lord. And He called Him God. God said, I tell you what I'm going to do for this boy, what I'm about ready to make promises I'm going to do. I tell you why he expects some big things coming from the hand of God. Because he knows something about my name. And the name of God is the testimony of God. Amen. Know Him by name. Know Him by name. So there's passion and there's pursuit. I got to quit. I found another one there in verse, where am I at? In verse number 15 or verse number, yeah, verse 15. He shall call upon me. I wrote it down. I wrote it down. And I'm just going to mention the promises. I'll back up next week and I'll preach them. But I wrote it down. The conditions involve passion and pursuit, but it also involves prayer. God said, God, Jesse, the Lord is getting ready to make some big, big promises that He's going to do. And it all hinges on you and I calling upon Him. Prayer. Prayer. Amen. Boy, I'm out of time and out of steam. This condition is only met. This condition for the promises is only met by a consistent life of prayer. It's not just running to God when your life's falling apart. He's talking about somebody with a consistent daily life of prayer. Communion with God is to live under the shadow of the Almighty. One writer I read after even this week said that the pathway to the blessings of God is by the path of prayer. Amen. In this matter of prayer, I believe, is an acknowledgement of divine dependence. He shall call upon me. You know what God's saying? You know why God is saying I'm going to bless this man? Because this is a man that has learned how to put all his faith, all his confidence, all his dependence rests in what I can do for him. That's what it would look like to live under the shadow of God. Now that's the conditions. Will you bear with me for about, 180 seconds? Would you do that? That sounds like a long time. 3 minutes. I'll just mention it. I'll back up because I want to preach to them. They're awesome. What are the consolation in these promises? What is God saying? Here's what you have consolation, you have assurance, you have peace that I will do for you. You want it? Number one, God, he says,
He says here, he gives us consolation, God will hide him. He said, I'll set him on high, literally meaning to make inaccessible. Nothing will touch you. God will hide you on high. In safety and in strength, God will hide me. Amen. I love verse number 15. God will hear him. Amen. He not only said, he shall call upon me, but notice what he said, and I will answer him. Those who learn to live under the shadow of God, God says, I'm telling you, I am promising you, I'll hear you when you pray. I'll prove that I've heard you when you pray by sending answers. Boy, that's going to be a big one next week. I like this one. God will help him. God will help him. Say, what do you mean, preacher? Well, did you catch what verse 15 said? I will be with him in trouble. I will be with him in trouble. You know what that literally means? God said, I will hold his hand through the trouble of his life. See, living under the shadow of God doesn't mean you're free from trouble. It means that God says, I promise if you are right with me, your passion is set upon me, your pursuit is after me, your prayers are to me, I will help you. I will be with you in trouble. Found an awesome verse in my study cross-referencing this idea of this verse in John 16:32. Write it down, look it up later. Basically, the Lord looked at his disciples and he said, mine hour has come and all of you are going to be scattered. Every one of you. They're all talking about, Lord, I love you. I'm going with you all the way to the end. And the Lord said, I know what's getting ready to happen. Every last one of you are getting ready to be scattered. Here's what Jesus said in the thought of that. Can you imagine? Now, I know my 3 minutes is about up right about now, but I'm telling you, this truth has settled in on me. And we sang the song, Living by Faith. Amen. And that third, into that third, I ain't got time to get in that, but amen. He's with us. Jesus said in the thought of everybody's going to forsake me. Jesus said, and yet I know this, my Father is with me. Amen. Amen. He's looking at these men that he has invested in, and he said, I know what's getting ready to happen. Every one of you is getting ready to leave. And they did. Jesus said, one thing I know, and I'm sure it broke his heart like it breaks our heart when people leave us. But you know what Jesus said? He said, I'm drawing consolation. I know my Father is with me. Buddy, I'm telling you, in these days of trouble we're living in, I'm glad if we'll live under the shadow of God. God said, I will be with him in trouble. And the very next line is a reiteration of verse number 14. I will deliver him. God will help him. And then God will honor him. He said, and honor him. And that's a doozy as well. And we may get in on that next week. And then there's the contentment in these promises in verse number 16. And that's a doozy as well. Amen. Amen. I'm done. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight for your mercy and grace. Thank you for this wonderful psalm. Thank you, Lord, that you've provided a place such as this, a secret place. Lord, a place sacred and set apart from all the turmoil and trouble, Lord, that is around us. Lord, not a place that frees us from trouble, but a place to run to in the midst of it. Lord, not even just in the time of trouble, but Lord, even just from day to day, no matter what's going on, to be able to be personally attached to the presence of God and know what it is. Lord's a wonderful blessing. Thank you for these promises. Thank you, Lord, we're not in the dark about the conditions. Lord, I pray tonight that, Lord, I'm sure if we'd all be honest tonight, every one of us, Lord, could set a little bit more of our love upon you. get more intentional, more direct, more passionate about our God and for our God and for the things of God. And so, Lord, teach us about that. Teach us to pursue you and gain a knowledge of who you are and of your name and of what you're doing. Open our eyes that we may see. Lord, lead us into the school of prayer. Help us, Lord, to ever be dependent upon the divine hand of God, to trust you along the way. Lord, I know that, Lord, in these days we're living in, these things ain't easy. Lord, there's some efforts got to be put forth. Lord, I pray, Lord, just the little throwing out of the promises, the consolations, Lord, would be enough to stir our hearts tonight and inspire us, Lord, to go further with our God. Lord, all that you do for us, we'll thank you and bless you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.